Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. And hello there, Chris Vandercook.
Hey, how are you, Beth Ann?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Pretty good. The issue of who cares for older relatives is one that's going to grow and grow because we're all living longer, right?
Especially here.
Yeah.
And it's why Hawaii may be a model for what the rest of the country may be able to scale if we see certain legislation happen this time around or happen soon. Now, in Hawaii, there are 154,000 unpaid family caregivers. That number comes from AARP. And according to the group, the caregivers are most likely women in the workforce caring for parents or an older spouse. This session, companion bills to offer more support to family caregivers would provide a respite stipend of $70 per day if the appropriation is approved by the legislature. The Senate version, HB 534, will be considered by the House on Friday. Social activist Ai Jen Poo is the spring 2017 Dan and Maggie Inouye Distinguished Chair in Democratic Ideals, and she's back with us today. Good morning. Aloha. Thank you for being here.
Aloha. It's great to be with you again.
When we have talked in past about where we are as a state, moving to having more people who are living longer, living healthier, but there's also the downside of that, which means that somebody has got to be caring for them. That spawned businesses. It spawned all kinds of consultants and some sort of care that you pay for. The problem is in paying for it. In part, these bills would assist with some hours paid for during the day. Is that going to be where at least you see us, starting to get our feet wet a little bit to understand that we're going to have a coalition of people and government has a role in this too?
Absolutely. By the year 2020, there will be 300,000 people in Hawaii over the age of 65. And many of us are already living in multi-generational households, so we know that that's the case. And we don't have any infrastructure in place to support families who want to support their older loved ones who are living longer than ever before to live well at home. Most of us would much prefer to stay at home with our families in our communities, and it's a difficult and often isolating experience to try to do that. And the Kupuna Caregiver Program that is being discussed in the legislature right now is a breakthrough program that actually invests in families to be able to care for their loved ones at home. So it's a role for government, absolutely, but it's really about enhancing the role of families.
We talk about families as being under so much stress from so many different areas, and that's not just a personal or a family issue. It's also an economic issue. And in terms of economics, it's also played into the reason why we've heard that it's better to have an elder age at home, and there's been such a push to have elders aging in place, all of that together. And yet there hasn't been quite yet the kind of support for families and well as employers to know that, that stress is being, if not evenly distributed, at least distributed among several different organizations and groups.
It's going to have to be. I mean, this is a challenge that the whole country is going to have to grapple with. There are enormous implications for productivity in terms of all the adult age working people who are struggling with making impossible choices around caring for their parents and their kids and going to work every day. And then you have an economy with unprecedented levels of inequality where 75% of our workforce in this country earns less than $50,000 per year. So with that kind of income, how in the world are you supposed to afford the care you need without assistance? And that's the spirit of this Kupuna Caregiver Program. Right now, as it stands, something happens like grandma falls and ends up in the hospital, rather than it being a temporary moment of where the family comes together and then is able to grapple with it and then actually solve the challenge together and move on. It becomes oftentimes a permanent crisis. And what the program would do would actually just support families to be more resilient. And it's just the beginning of what we need for the whole country. And Hawaii just happens to be ahead of the curve on this.
In part because we have a different cultural ethic?
I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, there is an There is a clear and fundamental cultural difference here. When I come to Hawaii and I talk to people in the legislature, it is a no-brainer that we have to care for our kapuna, and that it is not a burden. It is not. It is actually something that we all want to do, because our kapuna are an incredibly integral part of our family life and our community here, and we honor our elders in Hawaii. Now, in the rest of the country, I have a huge challenge. Our whole movement has a huge challenge in really turning their attention towards what older people need to live well and with dignity.
Ijen, is that because they're simply in denial about this? They don't have the same sensitivities that we have here, or because they're just so spread out, they haven't had the kind of interaction with their elders that many of us are lucky enough to have here?
I think it's a little of both. I also think that caregiving issues have historically been kind of seen as personal, private matters that we deal with behind closed doors, sometimes at the dinner table, but never really seen and often associated with women, right? That women will just handle it. And we can no longer make that assumption. Right now, 75% of children in the United States are living in households where all the adults work outside the home. So there's no longer a kind of default care infrastructure that we culturally have assumed, where women would stay home and take care of the parents and take care of the kids. It just doesn't exist anymore, and our culture hasn't caught up.
So given the fact that we are dealing with this disconnect of reality to what expectations may have been, what has to happen in the rest of the country to, in a way, make them more consistent with what's happening in Hawaii?
Well, in some ways, Hawaii has the opportunity to really take the first step and have a proof of concept for the rest of the country. And there are many states that are watching. There are really active campaigns in Maine, in Michigan, in Ohio, in North Carolina, in Minnesota, in Washington State, where they're beginning to grapple with this question. And legislative champions are emerging, and they're all watching this Kapuna Caregiver Program in the Hawaii legislature, because it would be the first of its kind in the country where we're really investing in family caregivers.
Family caregiving extends beyond just elders. You mentioned that a moment ago about what our expectations used to be, that a woman would stay home to take care of both little kids and elders. But we know that the world has fundamentally changed. In that change, as you mentioned, that this is just the beginning, where do you see this going in terms of embracing all of the kind of caregiving that has to happen as we try to reconcile our need for families with our necessity of work?
I think in the 21st century, we have to rethink how we organize work, family, and the economy to actually account for the fact that people need to take care of their families as they work. And what I mean by that is we often think about infrastructure as like the roads and bridges and tunnels that create that make commerce possible. And I would argue that a new care infrastructure is necessary in order to make the 21st century economy sustainable and create real opportunity and equality for everyone. And how I think we get there is through the idea that every single family should have the support they need to take care of their children, to take paid family leave when they need to, and to take care of their elders. And so we have a vision for a program called Universal Family Care, which is one program that we all contribute to and we can all draw from to help us afford childcare, elder care, and paid leave when we need it. And that is an infrastructure investment to me. It is a kind of investment that we all make and we all benefit from that also enables the rest of the economy to function in a more sustainable way in the 21st century.
You talk about a system that would allow all of us to contribute as well as to take from it. And in so doing, do you say then that we might have a situation where, for example, we get a paycheck every couple of weeks and a few dollars from that might be spirited away, popped into this fund, and at some point we might also be able to draw from it as well as having appropriations from government?
Absolutely. I think that we need to be able to, whether it's coming out of a paycheck or some other way that we're all contributing, I think we're going to need to pilot in a few states to see how a program like this could work, and we're talking about that in Maine and Michigan. But the idea being, like the way that social insurance, some of our best social programs have been social insurance programs like Social Security and Medicare, where we're all contributing and then we're all able to benefit when we need it. Those programs work, right? And they work best when the pool is larger, when we're all sharing the risk. And in a program for family care, it affects everyone, and everyone needs it. So it would be the largest pool imaginable here. We think that there's a way to structure it to be sustainable and to really support all families. And we'll just need to do some innovation to figure out exactly what will work best.
When you say the system that we'd all be contributing to, would that be state by state? Would it be a federal program?
Long term, I think it has to be federal. But in the meantime, states can take a lead and model, like the Kapuna Caregiver Program is going to model long-term care support for family caregivers. I think we need states to also model universal family care programs at the state level so that we can learn and also gather the data we need for a federal solution.
Given the fact that we are in a very changed political climate now than maybe you might have envisioned a year ago, do you have any sort of timeline in your mind as to when you think this might actually be a reality?
Well, I know that voters are already in motion in several states around the country for universal family care and for long-term care programs like the Kapuna Caregiver Program. I think Hawaii is poised to be the breakthrough state, the model on long-term care. And so if that happens, we have proof of concept for the rest of the country. And so I'm optimistic that this issue is rising in saliency as we speak among voters who are really feeling a lot of pain in this economy. And I think that it can be something that not only helps families, but helps us energize people to participate in our democracy.
Ai-Jen Poo, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you.
Ai-Jen Poo is the University of Hawaii at Manoa Spring 2017 Dan and Maggie Inouye Distinguished Chair in Democratic Ideals. She's also the director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance and will be part of a community panel presentation at the Arts at Mark's Garage tomorrow. And on March 22nd, she will be speaking at the Manoa Art Auditorium. Both events are free and open to the public. Details are on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.